Welcome to episode 75 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. In the late 1800s, spectators watched in surprise and horror as researchers applied electric current to recently deceased corpses, causing their muscles to spasm, for them to lift their arms, or even sit up. The electric eel can produce a 860-volt shock, coming out at 860 watts for a couple of milliseconds. That's not long enough to be lethal for an adult human, but it's long enough to be unpleasant, leaving after effects like numbness and tingling for several minutes. There is a single-celled creature that lives in microbial mats that grows nanowires so that it can take electrons from hydrogen sulfide deep within the sediment and transfer them to oxygen that's dissolved in the water. Clearly, there is a link between electricity and life. In fact, nearly all living cells are electrically charged, at least around their cellular membranes. This is caused by ion concentrations. Charged atoms, usually negative, are pumped inside the cell, where they sit on the membrane and attract positively charged ions, which rest on the outside of the membrane. This can act as a battery to help various molecular machinery that's embedded within and passing through the cell wall do what it does. It can also be used for long-distance signaling through a mechanism called action potentials. There are two mechanisms that help transfer ions through the cell membrane. There are ion channels, which are passive, meaning that when they are open, ions will pass through them. And there are ion pumps, which are active. They use energy from the cell to push ions through the membrane, often against the electrical gradient. The ion channels are often quite specific. Sodium and potassium ions have the same charge and are almost exactly the same size. Yet there are ion channels that will let one through and not the other. It is rare for a potassium ion to pass through a sodium channel, and vice versa. Ion channels can be opened either through binding with a chemical or because of voltage differences. In the case of sensory neurons, they can also be opened by things like heat or light or pressure. Once the channels are opened, certain ions will pass through them, changing the charge of the cell. Once the electric charge reaches a certain level called a threshold, a neighboring patch of cellular membrane will have its voltage-activated ion channels opened, and the process will repeat and propagate along the length of the cell body. In the case of nerve cells, the cell body can be very long. Even though they are microscopic, the axon, or sort of tail, of the cell can be a couple of millimeters long. In the case of things like muscle tissue, the changing action potential as it propagates along the length of the cell body will cause the cell body to contract. Done in concert, this allows you to do things like stand, walk, lift things, or breathe. Action potentials happen in most multicellular creatures, with the exception of things like sponges. They happen in plants, although for animal cells, positive ions are allowed to flow into the cell. For an action potential to take place in a plant cell, negative ions, usually chlorine, are allowed to flow out of the cell. It's thought that the action potential mechanism was originally a response to changing levels of salts dissolved in the water. But it was adapted to allow multicellular creatures to send signals from one part of their body to another. Necessary if you want to do things like react to the presence of a predator, or move towards favorable conditions, or swallow food. This is a form of electric current, but it's a little bit different in cells than it is in a wire carrying an electric current. Wires use the flow of electrons, and the amount of current falls off as a function with distance. Nerves, or other action potentials, use the flow of ions. This is much slower. An electrical pulse through a wire can move anywhere from 50 to 99% the speed of light, depending upon the material. Nerve impulses get up to maybe 225 miles an hour, about a third the speed of sound. Action potentials, unlike currents through wires, remain at the same power level along the entire length of the cell body, as the voltage is renewed with each new patch of cellular membrane. Meanwhile, scientists have not stopped experimenting with electricity and life. A researcher at Tufts University, located in Massachusetts, named Michael Levin, has been experimenting with the electrical properties of cells and patterns of growth. He's managed to change the number of ion channels and their types in various cells, thus changing their electrical properties, and has caused things like eyes to grow on the ends of tadpoles, or with the adult frogs, eyes on their backs, or tiny little toes growing out of the ends of severed limbs. These experiments may seem a little bit grotesque, but the end result is to do things like inhibit cancer growth, heal injuries, regrow severed limbs, and correct birth defects. For those who are interested in digging deeper, I have links to articles on the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. While you're there, you might also want to sign up for our newsletter. We are about a week away from Halloween, and it amuses me to share something so Frankensteinian. Next time, worms.